to this seminar. It is being recorded, so just to make you aware, my name's Libby and I'm from Christian Legal Centre, Christian Concern, and I'm going to be talking about a few aspects of the law and what it says about the issues. And I'm joined by Ed, who is the principal and proprietor of Priory School on the Isle of Wight. That's an independent Christian school. So Ed obviously has a lot of experience of these issues and how they work out practically. So I hope that we complement each other. We've looked at four of the issues which we thought were most prevalent when people put down their comments about what they wanted to discuss. So we're going to be looking at equality law and how that applies briefly, and some of the issues which come out of that. We're also going to be looking at how Christian can a free school be or an academy. Ed will be covering that mainly. Excuse me. We'll look briefly at British values as well, and that's something that Ed can talk about. And then finally, we'll look at the future and how we deal with the issues that we've looked at today and what sort of tools we do actually have to help us, whether we're teachers or parents, with the issues that present today. So I should have said as well that at Christian Legal Centre, we deal with the Equality Act and discrimination on a daily basis, increasingly in the context of schools and parents coming to us with difficulties. So that's my main experience. Now, I'm going to start with just an overview of the Equality Act, which applies to all schools in varying degrees. I don't know how much of the Equality Act you might know. You've probably picked up on several parts of it over the years. I do have a handout, which you're free to take. It is a brief guidance notice, not legal advice, and it also has some of my own personal opinions about whether the Equality Act actually works. So do bear that in mind if you take it away and read it. Okay, so let's begin with a few key aspects of the Equality Act and how they might impinge on what we're looking at today. So, as you may know, this brings together lots of discrimination law, which was already in existence. Significantly, for our purposes, it also covers sexual orientation and gender reassignment, which are, specifically gender reassignment, quite new concepts. And they are included under what's called protected characteristics. Ed and I have our views about protected characteristics, which we won't go into now, but suffice to say that they are the issues that might present themselves most in this culture that we're in today in the classroom. Now, the Act covers the relationship between the school and its pupils. It's not pupil to pupil. It covers the relationship as you're teaching. It covers all sorts of different types of discrimination, direct, indirect, harassment, victimisation, and making reasonable adjustments. And I have put all of that in there so you can go and have a look later on. Now, all of those concepts obviously apply in different ways. I think you may come across indirect discrimination in terms of school policies. So as I say, indirect discrimination and looking at policies which might be applied indiscriminately to all pupils and have a neutral application, but for some particular pupils with a particular protected characteristic, it might, they feel, treat them less favourably. So we won't go into that in detail, just to say that that exists. The other thing I just want to make sure you're aware of is that the Equality Act does not cover the content of the curriculum, but how it's delivered. And that's a very significant distinction, which some of you may already be aware of. And it really affects the sorts of complaints that a pupil, for example, might make about what they're being taught. Just to quickly mention the public sector equality duty, which applies to maintained schools and academies, not independent schools. Again, this brings up several issues. It can be an onerous duty. I think probably its aims aren't to be that, but obviously the school has to have due regard to eliminate discrimination, advance equality of opportunity, and foster good relations, all well-meaning, but when put in the context of the type of issues we're dealing with today, could present difficulty. So just to make you aware of that. Of course, there are exemptions for faith schools, which we should use if we can. And I just want to quickly round up the Equality Act, and I appreciate it's been very brief, by saying what my experience of the Equality Act is and how I feel that it has had an impact on schools. Now, I think it presents some challenges to our Christian faith. And in other ways, it actually protects our Christian faith. So my answer to are our Christian freedoms under threat by this particular act is yes and no. So yes, it's a very broad piece of legislation. It uses concepts which have no definition until case law defines them. So for example, what does detriment mean? What does harassment mean? Harassment actually includes offend when it defines itself in the act, very, very wide. What does foster good relations mean? Also, the act is premised on discrimination being a negative concept when actually we discriminate every day in our lives. And it can seem as though it's seeking to eliminate all difference, which is very apt these days when we talk about sexuality, etc., in schools. And also, yes, because in our experience, the Act hasn't protected Christian freedoms as strongly as it has other freedoms. So there is that freedom for your beliefs to be protected as a pupil, as a teacher, as a parent, but we need to know that how to use it and how to use it to its full potential. Obviously, having the exemptions is also a good thing under the Act. I'm going to round up and say a little bit more later about other protections that we have under other legislation. But I'm going to hand over to Ed to speak about on the ground.
Right, just a brief thing on that, because it came up today, very well put, that the provenance of human rights is entirely Christian, because Christianity alone has this idea of the person as a completely of absolute worth without any diminution. Whether they're a sinner or not, whether, to quote, I think it's Colossians, you know, they're Jew or Gentile, male or female, slave or free. Now, all of human rights came out of that. Particularly the defining act is the UDHR of 1948, which is the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Interestingly, talks about brotherhood, but what's brotherhood without a father or a mother? The American Declaration of Independence, which talks about, you know, all men are created equal, but that's deliberately under God as their creator. So there's actually a problem. There's no definition in law of what equality is, except for that one from the Declaration of Independence, except from the idea of brotherhood. So there's a kind of intellectual moral vacuum behind it, but the provenance is entirely Christian. Secondly, the legislation was assembled together was legislation on race, on sex, that's gender, on age, then later on sexual orientation, and there are 9 protected characteristics. There's religion, there's sexual orientation, there's pregnancy and maternity, actually, there's transgender, there's disability, and there's those classic ones, race and gender, male or female. Now, one very important thing is that about 7 of those are objective facts. You're old or young, I mean, dispensing with our 6'4", Asian woman, whatever it was, you're old or young. You're male or female, you know, up to now you are. You're disabled or you're not. You might have a sexual orientation. There's no scientific basis for it. But also protects religion, which by definition is an issue of choice. And the other thing is that whatever sexual orientation or transgender might do, you've got to choose to practice something. So you've got a conflation in the act of the defence of, you know, objective aspects, you know, age, disability, gender. You've also got protection of choice systems, and the confusion is enormous. It came out in 2010, and it's that has created many of the problems for schools, because it posits in a way that, for instance, for Christians who can't accept the idea that whatever the orientation of someone might be, it's not according to understanding what Christ asks us to live, to practice sexual activity outside marriage or outside with a member of the opposite sex. And it's the idea that if a different sexually orientated person is protected, therefore their practice is protected also. No. In actual fact, every single time, and we have to do this in our school because we give September assembly in front of the whole school, we go over what is the Christian ethos. And every single time it is that all of you are the children of God, you're made in the image of God, every man, woman, or child is, therefore you're of absolute worth, therefore all the rules on bullying and everything are based on that. But what we say is that's our belief, and it stops at the end of our nose, because we're not a denominational school. Because we do have Muslim, we have Jewish children, we've got children. I mean, there was one family who said, can he, you know, our son not go to any services at all because we're atheists? Fine, not a problem. I had a Muslim family, very devout. They exited at the Our Father, just before it, at the end of assembly. I mean, these are all very valid freedom of conscience things. But then we say, you know, whatever your belief is, that is yours. This is our belief, but the way in which you treat everyone is theologically and philosophically based on the nature of the person as we understand from Christianity. But in terms of conduct, we're asking you, as we respect you of absolute worth, you respect the person beside you of absolute worth, whatever you're thinking about why he or she is of absolute worth. And so far, that's held good. So that's an example of finding a proper point or foundation on which to argue and then deal with the competing aspects of the act. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's very helpful. Obviously, we're here for the rest of the day, and the Christian Legal Centre exists, and so we can talk further about this. This is just a very brief overview. So we'll move on to being...
Should we ask for any questions on that now, do you think, or not? We haven't really got time.
Sure, we've got time. No. Definitely late.
We're here after 2:30, if anyone wants any particular things in schools or in your own circumstances.
Just because I'm anxious to get through everything we said we would.
Yeah, exactly.
So how Christian can a free school or academy be, or...
Did anyone send in that question, by the way? We had a look at the questions we noted. How free can a, how Christian can a free school or an academy be?
Yeah.
Right, do you work in a free school or academy?
No.
No. The simple answer is...
I've been involved in sort of...
The simple answer is, and Libby made the point in her introduction, in terms of your ethos, your PSHE, your SRE if you want to do it, you're not obliged to. Academies and free schools, the only section of schools that are obliged to teach SRE, that's sex and relationship education, it's being rebadged as a relationship and sex education, are state-controlled secondary schools. That's the only ones you have to do it. In my school, I mean, I was invited to take my school over 7 years ago, I had very strong ideas about the whole thing, and I do not do SRE at all. And when I'm challenged on that, I say because I can't do it with the range of pupils I've got, because I've got Muslims, I've got Jews, I've got atheists, I've got Christians. B, the range in any class, you know, a class of a year eight class of 12, 13-year-old girls. Some of them are going to be very savvy, and some of them are going to be innocent as the day is long. And one parent actually said to me, she said, you couldn't possibly include Molly in anything like that because, you know, of she's so innocent. Absolutely right. Thirdly, an independent school does not have to teach any SRE. And fourthly, the pressure I get is from staff. We're letting the girls down, we're letting the boys down. I'm very good at this, I've done it in a previous school. And what I say is, you know, we're a Christian school, because we're not a denomination, we don't promote a view of life for the families, that's for the parents and their children. And if you teach something that doesn't have a value attached to it, particularly in the area of sexuality, of marriage, of relations, you are making a value statement by saying, we're going to teach it without value. And you can't do that. So I say, we don't do it at all. And I've had staff come to me and say, I taught this in a previous school, I'm very good at this, can I do it? And I explain that to them, and they respect it. And anyway, I'm sorry, I'm the boss, so that's it. We have not had, I've had two parents ask me in 7 years. One said, a year six child, right, and what's your sex education in the school? And I said, I'm looking at it, meaning it's you as a parent, as the primary educator. Oh, she goes. I'm not sure she was happy, but it's never been pressed. And you've got to look, if you're in the school, what laws you're under. So free schools and academies, you can be very, very Christian in your ethos, totally. Completely Christian in your areas of pastoral, rules and disciplines and the rest of it. You can write all your policies from that point of view. But when it comes to the curriculum, you have to keep a clear line between the content of a subject and a Christian view of that subject, or any other, you know, philosophical religious view. To give you, this is actually from the statutory instrument on fundamental British values, we'll come to later. But this could apply in terms of the curriculum to how Christian can a free or academy school. And I think the Durham Free School that got closed was because I'm not sure, John Denning knows more about than I do, but I think it blurred the line. It says here, all fundamental British values precludes the promotion of partisan political views in the teaching of any subject in the school. And I think what you say is in teaching a subject, unless you're teaching divinity, unless you're teaching RI, religious instruction, rather than religious studies, is just keep the line clear. This is my beliefs as a teacher, these are the beliefs of the school, but I'm now teaching you Islam as a subject, if that's how you're going to do it. And if you keep that clear, you can be completely Christian, and frankly, with what the government looks like it's doing with removing the cap on the percentage of pupils who can be of a particular faith in free schools, we are going to have an explosion of Christian and particularly probably Catholic free schools. Is that any help?
My point was that you have to be materialistic in your view of science. You can't take a non-materialistic or a non-naturalistic. It has to be naturalistic.
No, what you have to do is teach the science according to the curriculum given. You then have to say, I'm going to read you from the Parliament Library questions about this. Can faith schools teach creationism? You can teach it if it's part of your RI or your PSHE or whatever. You can't teach it if it's the science curriculum at the moment.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. And it says here, this is a minister in, I can't remember what it's Mr. Timpson, who must have been, state-funded schools, including free schools and academies, should not teach creationism as an evidence-based scientific theory. Outside of science lessons, it is permissible to schools to cover creationism as part of religious education lessons, providing that this does not undermine the teaching of established scientific theory. That's the law at the moment.
That's what undermines this Christian, the Christian ethos of the school,
isn't it? No, it doesn't. Well, I would argue it doesn't, because you're saying this is science as defined by the exam boards at the moment, so we're teaching it. We don't think that explains the creation of the world, but we've got to do it outside of a science lesson at the moment.
But then you have to talk about science in the RE lesson, and they're on to that.
You can. You are allowed to do that.
I think the point is, isn't it, I teach at a predominantly Muslim school.
Yes.
A Christian. I'm able to, you know, for example, the issue of evolution is very precious to the Muslims, the children and staff. So I think it's important that you actually don't quash it.
No.
Actually, you do explore it. So you can say, well, there's actually a counter to that, you know, creationism, and it will come out in discussion, and you shouldn't quash that.
No.
So actually, I think it's about the lines are there. Actually working within the parameters of the lines, actually you can generate discussion which actually brings in, for example, the creation theory. I think that keeps everybody. And I think to have one worldview which dominates the other worldview, I think is wrong. And it might even be the law, but I think it's finding ways around that. So for example, you might have, you know, we've had sort of battles in the staff room about the evolution theory versus creation theory,
mm-hmm.
from Muslims and secularists.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite interesting as a Christian to sit between them and be able to sort of
arbitrate. Is that the King Fahd Academy?
No, it's Broadway Academy.
Oh, right, yeah, so on the list, yeah.
And so in order to do that, I think it's really important that actually as Christians we're able to say, look, yes, this is what science teaches, this is evolution, this is as per the exam board, but allow the questions to come through and allow the worldview that way. And I think by doing that, you're not indoctrinating, to use that term, but at the same time you're allowing the general discussion to come through, and not to say this is one worldview which dominates the other.
Where I think I have the problem though is that accepting the government's diktat immediately puts evolution and creationism in two different realms, and they're not. They're both faith theories. We believe the world was created by God in 6 days. Hebrew says we believe that by faith, because I can't prove it. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. God says it. I believe it. Evolution is a faith-based theory, yes. Because no one was there. No one saw it. No one reproduced it. So they sit side by side. So they've got to be taught in the same class. I absolutely agree that you teach them both. Our children need to know what evolution is. But they sit side by side, and they should be both taught in the science class, or they should be both taught in the religious faith class, but they should both be taught in the same class so people see them together.
You're right. So I think sensitively and skillfully taught, that's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah. I think the thing is, I accept what you're saying, that what I'm saying really is experience in steering a school through these pitfalls. Ofsted will take you to bits.
That's what I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying. You know, and I think the injunction from the New Testament, that we have to be as cunning as serpents and as innocent as doves is what counts here, so that we don't destroy our schools if we think they are valid in themselves by putting ourselves up as very easy targets to be knocked down. And I think we just have to be shrewd in our times. That's not a compromise.
In terms of the free school, then, this is the problem, because this piece of legislation was not there when free schools were starting. So Christians think free school, right, we'll get into it. You get into it, you take the government's money, you're suddenly beholden to them, and then they introduce something like that. And then you're stuck because your building rests on them, your funding for your staff rests on them, and you either then have to compromise your Christianity or you take the stand and Ofsted come in and they shut you down.
You're absolutely right, because the free school application says on the free school application, right, you will not teach creationism. Yeah.
The second time, yes. The first round of applications for free schools, it didn't say that.
Yeah,
you just had to adhere to the Quality Act 2010.
Yeah.
But the second round of free schools applications, yes, they caught on to it very quickly, and they explicitly said that you must not teach creationism as an evidence-based theory in science.
That was directly as a result of the British Humanist Association.
Freedom of information.
I'm really sorry to interrupt, we've got 5 minutes to do the rest. And this is a big issue, and I passionately, I think it's disgraceful what they've done. Speaking from a personal perspective, I read the regulations and I agree with what you were saying, that they need to be on equal footing. We do have to move on to quickly cover in 2 minutes British values, and then in 2 minutes the good things that we can hold on to, that we can use to combat these things that we've looked at.
Right.
There are some.
Who has come up against fundamental British values in the schools? It's been quoted to them, or they've done pretty. Yep. Okay, how have you found it? Has it been a problem, or in terms of Christianity, in terms of Christian belief?
Well, if you take the initiative, Christians should be the best at fundamental British values.
Well, all of them come from the idea, of individuals in Christ, from the quotations in the New Testament. Can I read you out the actual British values? Because there's a lot of stuff going on about this. They are that it's a standard that has to be met for the spiritual, moral, social and cultural development of pupils in the school if the proprietor, and then it was extended to state schools, I think, actively promotes the fundamental British values of democracy, rule of law, individual liberty, and mutual respect and tolerance of those with different faiths and beliefs. Now, that word "of those" is what our defence and our clarity of conscience hinges on. But let me explain why we're getting battered. The DfE itself, when they had a consultation about this in 2013, used the phrase that there must be mutual respect and tolerance of other cultures, faiths and beliefs. They were hammered for that, and in the 2014 consultation changed it to say the proposed standard merely requires schools to respect other people even if they choose to follow a lifestyle that one would not do for oneself. So if you get Stonewall knocking on your door saying, 12.6% homophobic bullying and the rest of it, what you say is, or what we said, this is experience side, is no, all our bullying policy is under this absolute rule of the worth of everyone. If we start to make hierarchies of bullying, we are actually discriminating. So therefore, you must put, for instance, homophobic in your admissions policy, but then you can put everything else as well. Because what they are driven by is an ideology.
Sure.
But in actual fact, what the law says, you've got to respect the person, not their sexuality, not their practice or anything else. And this is a big thing with transgender now. Liv and I were talking about this earlier. If you get that kind of thing coming, the thing to do is focus on the individual pupil and not allow the issue to hobgoblin you. Because also they're under 18 by definition in the school, and therefore it's an issue you discuss with their parents. But don't allow, I'm Catholic, and I'm actually shocked that a whole load of Catholic primary schools bring Stonewall in, because they're scared. They think they're going to curry favour like this. You don't have to. The law is actually far stronger, and those fundamental British values far stronger for Christians to use than is thought. So go back to that text, because you can stand on them very solidly and hold your ground.
Yeah, and that links in very much with just a few final comments about the laws, which are on our side, and particularly with my experience at CLC of dealing with teach, sorry, with parents who've called and said, my child is being taught to say prayers to Allah. My child is being is seeing very gratuitous sexual scenes and they're only in year eight. What do I do about it? 9 times out of 10, we've helped them to write a letter which includes a very key piece of legislation. It's European legislation. It's Protocol 1 of Article 2, I believe. I might have that the wrong way around. Of the European Convention of Human Rights, which basically says that parents have the state must respect the parents' right for the children of those parents to be educated in line with their spiritual and other values. Now, that's very strong, and we always quote it. And I've so far never had anyone come back and say, well, the teachers weren't happy with that. The teachers have said, oh gosh, we're very sorry, it won't happen again. So for those of you who are parents, do bear that in mind. And that's one of about 5 or 6 different injunctions under international law, treaties that the UK has signed up to say the parents must be able to educate their children in line with their spiritual values. There's also European case law, which says that there can be specific carve-outs for children who don't want to have particular religious education, which goes against what their parents believe. And there are even rights for the child in terms of how they're educated. So if you take away anything from this, there are lots of laws which are on your side, including parts of the Equality Act 2010 for pupils, teachers and parents, which say it's wrong if you're treated less favourably because of the way you, because of your belief, or under Article 9 of the European Convention of Human Rights, because of the way you manifest your belief, which covers a whole host of things. So, as I say, at Christian Legal Centre, we deal with this a lot of the time. I think there's going to be more about this. The transgender is a big thing that we need to deal with and have our Christian thinking straight. I think the Christian Institute is about to produce a booklet on that, so get hold of that. If you haven't seen this, which you may have already, it's been out for about 2 years, Coalition for Marriage, Respect and Beliefs on Marriage, that's brilliant as well. I think we need to come out of this mindset of, oh gosh, everything's against us. Yes, things are against us, but there's a lot on our side, and we need to think through it and think, how can I use this intelligently to protect the rights I have, which, by the way, are based on Christian values which set up this nation. So, and just to say, please ask questions and keep in contact with us. There's details there for myself, but we're very happy because this is an area where we really need to have more of an influence, I feel.
Can I do one last practical thing? Because what Olivia said is absolutely right. If you're in a school, or you're a parent, or a teacher, what I found really important is to find out who is on the same page, or let's use that old red hymn sheet, as you. Because, I mean, I'm trained in law, so I steer a very careful line, which is probably why I'm slightly more careful about the issue you've raised than some others. But then to find out who you're with, you know, may be on your side, parents who may be on your side, and if you're in a school which is prevailing Christian ethos, do hold the leadership to account. You know, they are accountable for that Christian ethos, and you could do that, but if you can find other staff who are on the same side as you, it's always wiser and better, and you've got that fellowship aspect. I mean, literally, when two of you are gathered in my name, I'm with you, and that's the thought one has to have. But if you're a parent also, find out other parents. CLC, what Libby's described, just shows these. A lot of this stuff is all paper tigers. Blow hard in the right direction and it will dissipate. Yeah. And there's also Antonia Tully at Safeford School, which is part of SPUC, the Protection of the Unborn Child. She's handled very difficult cases in Birmingham with a thing called CHIPS, combating homophobia in primary schools. There's homophobia in primary schools. The kids don't even know what it means. Oh. They don't even know what gay means. Keep them out by basically having an absolute strong, you know, safeguarding absolute strong ethos, and say, no, if we have you in, we have to have, you know, the Holocaust. I'm not being flippant here. The Holocaust Society, the Suffragette Society, you know, we need everyone in. We can't make one person more special than the other, because actually that's against the Act. And the final thing is, religion is protected under the Equalities Act. If you're quoting the Bible, if you're quoting Scripture, if you're quoting the Catechism, you are protected as well. So don't let your human rights be trampled on. Because if someone says, well, it's disgusting, you're saying it's unnatural, you know, what happens to all the gays who are happily married and the rest of this? That's their life. Bless them, you know, everyone to his own conscience. But I have the right to manifest my belief in my Lord, and this is it. Well, that's absolutely outrageous. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to say that under the Equality Act. Do you see? You know, the law is far stronger, we're not using it. you know, because we haven't got the clarity and we don't know it. And the tide, especially from government, is very, very strong. But CLC can help you on that individually as well as generically.
We're
still talking,
so
I don't know.
Two more minutes.
Maybe some questions now.
Can I just say thank you for all your expertise and help?
Yeah, absolutely.
Has anyone had a really thorny issue where they've just gone, ah? I mean, obviously the biblical view, the scientific view, I completely appreciate.
You just mentioned I'm involved in a school that's had a bad Ofsted. And one of the things that we've been challenging, with John Denning's help, we've been challenging the Ofsted's protection of the evidence. They won't release the evidence base. And I don't know if anyone else has got experience of when they have released the evidence base, but at the moment they don't want to.
Well, there were Ofsted went wild in 2014 after this legislation came out. And they attacked Orthodox Jewish schools, they attacked a little Catholic school in Suffolk, they also went for the Durham Free School, which they did get closed. The other two, I don't know what happened to the Orthodox one, but I know the one they were told in Suffolk, you're not teaching enough diversity, you're not preparing pupils for life in modern Britain, which means you're not telling them all about gay sex, transgender and the rest of it. It's a code for that. The little school said, you know, we're in the middle of we're 98% white, rural, Suffolk, you know, load of farming families, what do you expect us to do? And they went for them, but then did you help them? Or someone helped them and basically shredded the Ofsted report. And then it didn't come in the press, but Ofsted later said, no, you're a good school, we withdraw that. If you attack them with clear ideas and with confidence, you know, you will find that they very quickly go onto the back feet because they're essentially bullies. They're trying to make you think what they think because they feel everyone else wants them to think what they think. You know, it's a kind of a weird tidal wave, but it's actually far weaker legislatively, and we as Christians should be able to give a good shield wall, you know, with our principles. That's my experience. Sorry.
But if you're not using the national curriculum and you're using a Bible-based curriculum, they have broad issues with that, because I've come against the Department of Education with the free school application I made twice. And it was the issue of creationism in science. But when we conceded to not teach creationism in science as an evidence-based theory, that we would use supplementary material from the national curriculum, they didn't believe me because they had done research that I had signed a petition calling for creationism to be taught in science classes.
That's your private life, not your school.
Yeah, but they still put that in the rejection letter.
But they're wrong. You need to hammer them.
No, I know that. Yeah. I know that. Yeah. I'm trained lawyer like yourself, so.
Great.
Homeschooling my children at the moment, but I just didn't have the energy. I couldn't, you know, doing the application was mammoth and it almost killed me. But the second point is, they said that our curriculum in totality promotes creationism. So they were that bold to say, not only can you not teach it in science, we don't actually support your curriculum because it's a creationist curriculum, and the teachers would obviously be espousing creationism as well.
In that's the situation where, you know, the support of others. I know what it's like. I mean, not on this issue, but for 5 years I had a running battle with Ofsted. We went through three finance controllers at Piccadilly and Manchester. You have to then combine, because you can't do it on your own. And it is very, very hard. I think that's how they condemned. Anyone here, any experience of Durham Free School that got closed?
I know a little bit about it. Just
am I right, what I'm saying?
I don't think it was... This business about blurring the lines. There were political motives behind it.
There might well have been. Yeah.
Really, there was an MP in the northeast who was very anti.
That's very hard.
Political motivation. Yeah.
That's when you need. I mean, you know, CLC handled the lady at British Airways who had the cross. You know, went to the European Court.
Yeah, but since then let's just say that we deal with this stuff day in day out. The education stuff, I think, is going to grow. But that's why I say the Equality Act doesn't always work. I said it does in some circumstances, but the agenda behind it is not, oh, let's value everyone the same. There is certainly a hierarchy.
There is definitely.
Not to say that we shouldn't use it. We need to be wise.
But that's what they quoted, just to say. They said that the curriculum that we had chosen wasn't in line with the Equality Act 2010 and with the free schools policy in general. They specifically quoted that in the rejection letter.
But the Equality Act, as Libby said, has nothing to do with curriculum. It's all to do with pastoral relations, with relations between pupils.
Well, I think that depends what Department for Education officer is writing your rejection letter.
No, I mean, to put it, you know, the we've got to go. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
No, but thank you, everyone. Yeah. We're here afterwards.